Welcome back. Kurt Caden here, and I'm having the great pleasure of getting to visit with Dr. Anthony Cortese. And Dr. Anthony Cortese is on the Southwestern College campus, and we're so delighted to have you here, Doctor. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
You are a part of so many things, the co-founder of the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education, and the co-director of the American College and University President's Climate Commitment, which is something that Southwestern College was one of the first 400 charter signees. And of course, in this day and age now of a lot of this, you hear a lot of terms of going green and sustainable living and whatnot. You're an expert here. What is the importance of going green in our time today?
Well, first of all, I'm not an expert. Nobody can be an expert in how to create a society in which everybody is healthy, in which we have strong, thriving communities and economic opportunity for everyone. That's the human challenge of the future. What I have been working on through Second Nature in my past work and having the privilege to run the State Environmental Department of Massachusetts is how do we teach people to make and do the things that we need in society so that in a way that everybody's healthy, that we do have the ability for everybody to have a decent quality of life. And in order to do that, we have to pay attention to the life support system, because the economy and all human activity are completely dependent on the earth for all the resources which make life possible and the ability to take our waste and reconvert them into useful substances again. So sustainability is really, it's kind of an aspiration of what kind of a world do we want, and having a more unified and deliberate way of trying to do that. And higher education becomes extremely important. I can just look at my own experience. My first two degrees were in environmental engineering from Tufts University, and because I was really interested in how pollution of the environment affected people's health, my focus was on learning about how do we control pollution. And everything I learned about was how to design water treatment plants and wastewater treatment plants and landfills to take care of our waste and air pollution control equipment on industrial facilities and power plants to reduce the amount of pollution in the environment. Well, that's only one little piece of it. What I didn't learn about was how do we make and do the things that we want in society without creating the pollution in the first place? How can we continue to use our resources on an ongoing basis in a way that that future generations can have the opportunity to do that, as well as other people that are on the earth right now? So the reason I work with higher education is because higher education trains all the future K-12 teachers and all the professionals in every other area, all the scientists, the engineers, the business people, the doctors, the lawyers, and it is part of, I think, our responsibility to help people find a better way of living, learning from all the things we're already doing. And Southwest College has been one of the signatories to the President's Climate Commitment, and this is an extraordinary thing that college and university presidents have done, because they're seeing that one of the fundamental barriers to creating a healthy and sustainable world in the long run, in the short run as well as the long run, is climate disruption because of global warming. And so they're basically saying, hey, you know, we are the ones that are training the future generations. We need to help. We need to be a model for eliminating all the greenhouse gases that we produce. And secondly, we need to also teach our students to become better stewards of the environment and also help them find better ways of making and doing the things that we need in society.
Our president, Dick Merriman, very much on board on this
yes.
on this attack, and I know just seeing some of the little things on campus, the light bulbs, the changing of the energy efficient light bulbs, and now with Jason Spiegel being hired on at Southwestern College to lead a green team. A lot of people think of coaches recruiting athletes to come play at a college, or music directors bringing in music students. Well, now we have Jason Spiegel, who's here to bring in students to really learn and work on the environment.
It's not just working on the environment. It's working on better ways of improving the community on the campus and improving the town of Winfield and the surrounding area. Southwestern College has a great tradition of service learning and a real strong philosophy with the Christian values and the idea of service. It also has this is just taking it one step further to look at the other Christian values of stewardship of resources, stewardship of all of God's creation, and as a best means of helping people to have a decent quality of life as much as possible. So I think we call it a green team, but let me give you an example. DuPont Corporation, a very successful international corporation, in the last 7 years has reduced its greenhouse gas emissions, those things that contribute to global warming, by 72% over 1990 levels. That's an enormous amount. And during that time period, they've saved $2 billion. So this is really about, the profits that's equivalent to the profits that they earned during that time period. So just by eliminating a lot of the, becoming much more energy efficient and finding different ways of making the chemicals and all the products that they make, they're able to both save money, reduce the impact on the environment, and be more profitable. And that's essentially what we're talking about here.
Win-win situation
all
around.
That's right.
How does your ordinary household go about trying to kind of do their part? Obviously, you have the big companies and whatnot, but for those just around Winfield or Cali County here in South Central Kansas, what can folks do?
Well, there are lots of simple things that we can do on a regular basis. One of the things that's interesting about a rural farming area is that people have understood the idea of stewardship for a long period of time. I mean, how did we come out of the Dust Bowl days? We learned that the way in which we were farming during that time period wasn't sustainable. So we found different ways of using water, different ways of tilling the land. We began to do crop rotation and a whole bunch of other activities that allows us to be a successful in farming today, which if we didn't do that, we would never have the kind of modern society that we have. So I think that built into our ideas of just the idea of saying, look, only use what you need and don't overuse. So little things that we can do in people's homes, we can say, okay, let's make sure that we recycle everything that we're, instead of throwing it away, why not be able to reuse that in some way? Can you share it with somebody else? Can you be able to give it to someone else so that they can reuse? On energy, for example, we can be replacing our incandescent light bulbs with compact fluorescent light bulbs, and when you do that, you're talking about taking an incandescent light bulb that will only last 750 hours before you have to replace it with a compact fluorescent that will last 10,000 hours, and will reduce the amount of energy used to get the same amount of light by 75%. Talk about a win-win-win situation.
Saving money as well.
And we need to look at win-win-win situations like that. So things that individuals can do is to talk to the utility company about getting an energy audit done in your home. And then they can, most of the utilities these days have programs to help you figure out where you're using your energy and finding out where you can have cost-effective investments, like putting in insulation or making changes. All of us can when we buy an appliance of any kind, or a computer, or any kind of electronic device, go to the EPA Energy Star site and only buy appliances or electronics that are Energy Star rated. And those are all products that are rated as being better than the average product that's out there. And those are all products that are going to save you money when you use them. So those are some of the things we can do. As individuals, if we in utilizing our cars, for example, try to consolidate trips rather than just making one trip 4 or 5 times a day, which is what the average American does. The average American just gets in the car and does 5 to 10 round trips a day, because that, we think about something, we go to the store, and then we come back, and then we go out again. Well, if you consolidate all of them and you go out once or twice and do all of your shopping, that will help. Another thing that we can do is in operating our cars is make sure that in the way we drive. So, you know, don't be lead foot on the pedal. Don't fast braking. Make sure that we keep up the tire pressure in our cars. And there's all kinds of little things like that that you can apply to everything. You can apply that to the way you do your clothes washing, to the way you do your dishwashing. You can, for example, don't use plastic water bottles to buy water. I mean, here's a talk about something that really isn't very smart from any perspective. The tap water. If you get water from your tap or water in a water bottle, if you buy bottled water, you're going to pay 2,000 to 4,000 times as much for that water in a water bottle. Plus, it's made out of plastic, which comes from oil, which is consuming oil for an unnecessary purpose and creates lots of pollution and waste, including global warming gases. And we can completely eliminate that by using reusable bottles. And I think about my life before there were plastic bottles for water. What did we do? We carried canteens. Well, now we have much better, more sophisticated, reusable, refillable bottles. And that's kind of the direction that we need to go, is that kind of consciousness in virtually everything that we do. And with our food, buying the food that is as locally produced as possible. And of course, that's not a problem for people around Southwestern College.
Dr. Anthony Cortese is joining us here today. He's the co-founder of the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education, and was on the Southwestern College campus in late September and early October. And Doctor, great points about the, I was thinking about in my own case with kids that are in athletics and whatnot, and for years going to soccer tournaments or whatnot, and everyone brings bottled water, and they drink half it and they throw it away. And we can do a whole lot of good if we can just get everyone to eliminate all those. I just think about the athletic fields with all the Gatorade bottles and water bottles we see just disposed of. There's a lot of ways to improve right there.
Yeah, and it's all about a philosophy of doing well by doing good, doing well financially, doing well from the perspective of having really strong communities where everybody has decent jobs. And, to me, that you got a great opportunity here with Southwestern College to be working with the Winfield community and the surrounding area in beyond the ways you're already doing it, and to find ways that will result in helping those businesses be more economically successful by being more environmentally successful.
What do you see in our world as you've graduated from Tufts University out in Massachusetts degrees in environment? I believe is that a degree in
environmental engineering and a doctorate in public health.
So you've seen our world through the years kind of maybe deteriorating with the landfills and oil and all these things. Do you see the world turning in the right direction right now?
Yeah, that's a complicated question.
Sure.
We have done tremendous things, in terms of like when I first got out of school, where we had no federal laws and very few state laws to control water pollution or air pollution. We didn't have a federal authority to protect water supplies until 1974. So, we've made tremendous improvements in so many areas in controlling air and water pollution and controlling toxic waste. But the challenge we have is that we've had so much growth in population, and more importantly, so much growth in technological prowess and economic growth, that we've overwhelmed all of those gains that we got. And so now we're at a point where we are diminishing our natural resources, our forests, our grasslands, our water supplies, and our coastal wetlands and coral reefs, to the point where they're not sustainable. You can't continue to get what we need out of them. And we're also creating some fundamental changes in the Earth's basic nutrient systems, the carbon cycle primarily, where we're putting so much excess carbon in the atmosphere from what's in the ground that we're causing the warming of the atmosphere, and that is causing serious climate disruption, and will continue to do so many years in the future unless we find a way to reduce the amount of fossil fuels that we use on an ongoing basis. So but what I do see is that the urgency of these issues is getting people to make some really big changes. One of the things that's most exciting to me is to watch what's going on in colleges and universities, where many colleges and universities are doing what Southwestern College is doing, and many have gone well beyond it already, and with programs for trying to do energy conservation and water conservation, recycling programs, buying locally grown food, working on making the campuses more pedestrian friendly and bicycle friendly, working on purchasing products that contain recycled content, and building new buildings that are much more energy efficient, that are better inside in terms of the air quality, that are that are just better buildings to be living and working in. And so all of that is really quite terrific, and the growth in the interest in this, and the growth in the interest that's going on in communities all around the country. 850 cities and towns in the United States, cities, we're talking about cities, have signed a climate protection agreement, mayor's climate protection agreement, to reduce their emissions by 15% by the year of 2012, by the end of 2012. So, I see it in industry. I was giving you the DuPont example before. Hundreds and hundreds of industries are trying to find ways of being much more environmentally responsible as a good means of doing better economically. So the trend is in a very positive direction. And the challenge we have is whether or not we can accelerate that trend fast enough so that future generations, that our children are in college today, will they be able to have as good a quality of life as we have now, for as many of them into the future?
You sound encouraged by the way things are.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, very encouraged. And in fact, it's like, look, the challenge we have, if we could just move ourselves to renewable energy in this country, that is, and all renewable energy is based on solar energy, the wind, the hydro, that's all driven by the sun, by the solar processes. You take all of those and biological sources of energy. You take all of those, and if we were to move to completely renewable energy, which I think we can do, we could eliminate not only all the oil that we have to import from the Middle East. We could eliminate the use of most of all the polluting kinds of fuels: coal, oil, natural gas is cleaner, but it's not completely clean. It's all relative degrees of clean. We could do that. We could, by so doing, we would be able to stabilize our energy costs and actually have them go down over time. Because once you build renewable energy sources, then you've got them forever, and you're not subject to the challenges of the whims of the market in terms of the price, or of other countries that may have those resources holding us hostage for them. And in Kansas, you've got the possibility here of biofuel and wind energy. You're a classic case of a state where if you went to wind energy, you could be powering not only all the electricity inside Kansas, you could be powering a larger part of the United States beyond the state of Kansas, and that would be a financial boon for you guys. When you think about it, it's really saying, can I find a way to live my life and get everything that I need and do it in a way that is going to be good for me and good for everybody else as far into the future as I can think?
Doctor, there are so many great points you bring up. Is there, for folks listening right now, any way, if they want to get some more information about how maybe they can improve, or if they want to learn more about sustainability and whatnot, website or anything that we can share?
Sure. One of the I think most interesting is called the Center for New American Dream. It's called newdream.org, and it's about how do we can be environmentally responsible consumers and improve our own quality of life and improve our communities. And they have a lot of good tips that I think are really quite helpful, because they're oriented towards how do we build better communities. And I think that's one of the good sites of places that you can go. There are a number of other sites that what is called, for a green living, that one can look at, but you can get them through the Center for a New American Dream. And it's called, and it's newdream.org.
Okay.
That's one of the best I can suggest.
Thank you so much for your information and your time, and for coming to our campus here at Southwestern College. It's been a delight to have you.
Thank you.
Dr. Anthony Cortese joining us here on Kurt's Corner.